Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio. On the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. Not a good night in New York baseball. We've got the U.S. Open starting today, the World Cup starting today. It's going to be over 80 degrees. It feels officially like summertime. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated like all the Met players are frustrated. I'm frustrated like all the Met fans are frustrated. I want some answers. That's what I want. I'm not getting any answers. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm telling you, if you are Jacob deGrom, as professional as he is and as good as he is and as just low-key as he is, he's just got to be livid. I mean, quietly, the people in his life have got to be like all over him. You got to get out of here. You got to go somewhere else. You got to be somewhere where you're going to be appreciated and where your efforts are going to actually pay off. Because again, yesterday, the New York Mets are an anemic disgrace of an offensive baseball team. And what really ticked me off yesterday, Gio, I'm telling you. And it's from a guy I would never expect it to ever come from. The guy is having a horrendous year. His numbers are way off. But his lackadaisical play yesterday in right field to allow Inciarte to be able to get to second base is just a microcosm of what is wrong with the Mets. You know, that laziness in right field by Jay Bruce is kind of a symptom of a bigger disease that the Mets have, and that disease is losing. And when you are losing, things like this really obviously show themselves to be a part of the problem. And I would have never thought I'd ever seen Jay Bruce be so lazy. And what I'm really getting tired of as a Met fan. Now I'm a former athlete, so I try to be as sympathetic to the cases of some of these guys and some of the struggles that they're having. But I'm getting sick and tired of Jay Bruce after games saying it's my fault. I need to do better. We're working hard. I mean, it's all the same crap after every single game.
Yeah, and you don't feel like they believe it because when they play, there is just they feel lifeless when they play. There is no energy around that team when they play, so they can tell you whatever they want after the game. Now, Jay Bruce clearly has not been healthy, and there was also that double by Dansby Swanson that led to the first RBI by Freddie Freeman, and Nimmo's bobbling the ball, and I know he's trying hard, but at that point, I mean, you make a clean play, he's not going to score from second base on that because the ball was hit hard enough. But you know, he's just out there with a bad back. Now he's got this upper butt injury, whatever the hell that is. He's got the plantar fasciitis. He is totally useless for this team out in the field, at the plate. And unfortunately, he's not the only guy on the Mets that's totally useless. You feel like just about everybody is. And you talk about Jacob deGrom and his frustration. After that first run scores on the Freddie Freeman RBI to left field, you know, he's shaking his head in a demonstrative way that, I mean, I have not seen from him, you know? I mean, it was one, and I don't know if he's upset with himself for leaving the ball where he did for Freeman to hit it. I don't know if he's ticked off at Nimmo because Nimmo can't make a clean play on this and it ends up being a short hop and it's like a hot potato situation. I don't know if he's upset with that because he knows that the team's not going to score any runs for him. But this is two times now that Jacob deGrom, who is not a demonstrative guy, he's not an emotional guy on the field, has shown that. And you know that's going to continue to bubble up as this team continues to go down the drain.
I kind of would think that he's a little bit mad at himself. You know, I mean, that's what I think the issue is. I think he, you know, Freeman got the Mets. He owns the Mets. He gets, you know, a couple hits again yesterday. I mean, just absolutely,
It's unbelievable how there's always seems like there's one guy on all these teams that just absolutely just rail the Mets. And he does. And for Jacob deGrom, who in the last five outings, seven innings, eight innings, earned runs, one, two, one, one, zero. The Mets have lost all five of those games, scoring an average of less than two runs a game. It's ridiculous. It is sad. And that's why, you know, I'm telling you, I said it 6 weeks ago, and I'll say it again today. The Yankees have what the Mets need, and the Mets have what the Yankees need. And it's time to really start seriously thinking that way, even though we're still, you know, in the middle of June.
Well, the season's over, I'm sorry to say.
I know, it's over.
I'm,
that's what I'm saying. Now comes the time where you have to seriously start considering, how the hell are you going to rebuild this team?
Yeah,
I mean,
really
honestly. I personally feel bad for Jacob deGrom, because it's almost like, as they're saying out in Los Angeles now, it's like they're wasting Mike Trout. The Mets are wasting Jacob deGrom. This guy should be right there at the top for the Cy Young, and he probably will be, just based on his ERA and based on the amount of innings he's pitching. But he also should have probably like a 10-1 record.
Yeah, and the Mets should not be this bad this year. We didn't love the team coming into the season, but we thought that they had a shot. We thought that they could hang around 500, maybe things broke their way, they'd be able to compete for a wild card. You know, I remember being sort of positive in that way about them. And the pitching that they're getting, I mean, you have to be epically, historically bad offensively to continue to lose like this with this type of starting pitching from DeGrom and others, and that's exactly what they are. I mean, this stretch right here is quite easily the worst offensive stretch I've ever seen as a Mets fan. I mean, you cannot expect more than three hits a game. Three hits. Forget about the runs. They don't even get hits. They don't even get guys on base. We're not even talking about them leaving runners in scoring position or not getting the big hit, or guys are walking and the bases are full, but they just can't break through, and they can't get guys on base. A no-hitter through six-plus yesterday. And it's almost like, you know, and I went back and I was listening to some of the highlights from a Braves perspective to hear how that went. And they're saying, what a spectacular outing. And, oh, man, this is going to be a memorable day, and there's going to be a no-hitter. I mean, honestly, if you pitch well against the Mets, do you even feel good about it? Do you even feel good about that?
It's still Major League Baseball, man.
Do you feel good about it?
I'm waiting for you. I think we're all waiting for it. My whole thing was yesterday, were they going to get no-hit?
Yeah, I almost wanted them to. It got to a point, I'm serious, I wanted them to, because I wanted it to get so bad that maybe they'd be embarrassed by that. Because clearly they're not embarrassed by what's going on now, because they come out every game with their heads down with absolutely no energy. So maybe a no-hitter would embarrass them enough. And Todd Frazier goes up to Jacob deGrom after the game, goes, dude, I'm sorry. I mean, that's a nice gesture, I guess. But, I mean, we're apologizing to the starting pitchers now? That's how bad it gets?
I actually think he's done this before.
God, I'm sorry.
I think he's done this to other pitchers, too. I think the other night, they didn't score any runs either, and they went up to, I forget who it was, I don't know if it was Steven Matz or maybe it was Seth Lugo or somebody, and said, dude, we're sorry. It's unbelievable. And really, the only way the Mets can win is if the pitching staff throws a shutout.
Yeah, and they're teetering on irrelevance now. So, I mean, it's just not going to be. There's going to come a point where this is no longer frustrating. We're going to feel more apathy than anything else. And we're getting to that point, which is the saddest moment of a sports fan season when that happens.
But you understand why, like, when the team's in the middle of losing like the way they are, and you have one of their players, like Jay Bruce, doing what he did yesterday in the field, that is not good. And you could sit after the game and say you got a hurt butt or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
you cannot be nonchalant. You cannot be carefree. Everything has to be done the right way. Fundamentally, it has to be done the right way when you're struggling. And it's just it's another symptom of maybe, you know, the manager loving his players. I'm so sick and tired of thinking about that. I'm so sick and tired of, you know, these players not being held accountable. I'm so sick and tired of trying to connect with these today players. I'm so sick of that mindset. And, you know, it doesn't work. You know, it may work when you have, you know, five all-stars in your lineup and they're all performing. But at the end of the day, you know, this is why I actually, Joe Girardi was an old school manager who basically knew the game inside and out. And yeah, Did he make a mistake last year not reviewing, you know, a play in a playoff game? Yeah, I get all that, you know. I mean, Casey Stengel didn't have to worry about reviews. You know, Leo DeRocha didn't have to worry about reviews. Earl Weaver didn't have to worry about reviews. You know, Tommy Lasorda didn't have to worry about reviews. These days, these managers have to worry about reviews. And that's why we're going to get rid of him, because maybe he screwed up a review or something like that. He would be the elixir for the Mets, I think. I think that's, you know, the Mets have got to seriously consider now what the hell is happening and how it's happening and the message that's being brought to this team. Because I hate it. I can't stand it. And I'm sick of it.
How much of a hard-ass manager is going to be able to change what's going on with his team?
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I know you don't like that attitude with Mickey Callaway, and maybe that's contributing to some of this. I don't know. I can't quantify that. But this team's just flat. They can't hit the ball.
The last two games, Mickey Callaway gets thrown out. His, you know, assistant coaches have no idea what they're doing on the bench. And then yesterday, his right fielder, who is a veteran, a pro, who I think we all respect as a player, in the middle of this freaking spiral downward, is nonchalanting a play out in right field. It's a symptom of what is wrong, you know. And I don't care what you say, you know, every team in every sport, there has to be, you know, a demanding person that is pushing everybody, that is holding people accountable, that's not going to love you and be your friend and all this other crap. This is about winning, man. You are getting paid millions of dollars to show up and go play a freaking baseball game. And to be stuck in the depths of this, I don't know, this ugliness over the last 6 weeks is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they have held some guys accountable. I mean, Matt Harvey, Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, it's not like they haven't done that. Guys who have underperformed, they've gotten out of here. They have. So, I mean, it's not like it's been a total love fest. Now, there's examples on the other end. Sure, Jose Reyes, keeping him around as much as they have is ridiculous. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you...
A
veteran player like Jay Bruce, what is Mickey Callaway or Joe Girard, what are any of these guys going to do? You mean you're telling me that there's a manager out there that's going to be able to magically fix all everything that's wrong with Jay Bruce right now?
And on top of all this, man, I'm so sick of like the injuries, the Cespedes injury. Now the Syndergaard's going to be down for a couple weeks. It's nonstop. There's so much negativity around the team. Honestly, I'm sick of it. I'm like, I don't even want to watch it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's gotten to that point. That's what I said. It's gotten to that point. And then you're not even going to care. I mean, how many of these seasons do we have to go through as Mets fans where you're in the middle of June and you're not even caring about the team anymore? I mean, that's basically where we're at. And also, the most frustrating thing to me about this season so far with the Mets is watching all these younger players everywhere else just be awesome.
Like Juan Soto.
I mean, Juan Soto last night, who, by the way, is 19 years old.
Yes.
This guy has got to be the most mature 19-year-old I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know. Connor McDavid was pretty mature.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sidney Crosby was pretty mature.
But just the looking at him, the body type of this guy at 19 years old. I mean, this is a man at 19 years old. I mean, he basically popped the ball up. He flicked it to the opposite field. The thing carried for a big 3-run homer last night off of Sonny Gray. And then the second one, that was no cheapie. I mean, my God, did he crush that ball. So you see that. Then you see Ozzie Albies hitting a grand slam against the Mets. Gleyber Torres last night hits the cover off the ball. I mean, everywhere else you look, there's these young players that come up and tear up the league. We got Ahmed Rosario's beard, Michael Conforto's .210 average, and Dom Smith on first base with his mouth open. That's basically that's what it is. That's what we got. Awesome. Love it. I mean, the only young player that the Mets have had this season that makes you feel good about anything has been Brandon Nimmo from time to time. And even yesterday, I mean, it's like he's out there. It's like someone rubbed that baseball in olive oil. He's just sitting there fumbling it around over there. His runs are scoring. You knew the Mets weren't going to score yesterday, so that was the end of that. So it's just so frustrating. Juan Soto, 19 years old, comes up for the Nationals. Couple home runs in Yankee Stadium. Yeah, no problem. Craig Bird, Gleyber Torres. I mean, golly. It is just the most... This is one of the... I mean, last year was a really frustrating season as a Mets fan. I mean, this is topping it, I think. I mean, it really is. So far, it's topping it. I didn't think that was possible. I really... Especially after the 11-1 start. Because you thought you had something. And you got nothing. And Sonny Gray is annoying to watch. I'm sorry.
Wow,
he's just annoying.
Come come on.
He's annoying.
He had a long first inning, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it takes forever, and he's bouncing balls. Even Al Leiter and Michael Kay are getting in a fight last night over him throwing balls in the dirt. I mean, it's just, it's tough to watch. When he's on, great. Everything, when he keeps guys off the bases, he can work clean. Like, you see that start occasionally from him.
But he was grinding. He was definitely grinding. When he gets out of whack and he starts grinding,
impossible.
It's just like 34 pitches in the first inning.
Oh, it's impossible to watch. It is, man. I can't see that guy in a play. I'm sorry, man. I cannot. I don't want to watch him in a playoff game. I can't do it. He's going to be just grinding that baseball and sweating and bouncing everything. And you have 45 pitches here. Next he's 5 hour and 15 minute game because Sonny Gray's pooping himself. I can't take it.
He's been actually overall good the last few
times.
Yeah,
but when he's bad and he's fresh, it's fresh in my mind.
He actually kept
them
in the game,
man.
Yeah, fine.
Great. I know. All right, here's the logical take. The logical take is that that home run, the first home run by Soto that ties the game, the three-run homer, I mean, that one is not a home run in most places. And it carried, and it was ridiculous that that happened, and he probably would have had a decent outing if that didn't happen. But watching him, the illogical take is, you know, just watching him against a good lineup is maddening. You have no faith against a good lineup when Sonny Gray's on the mound. And it seems like he doesn't have much faith in himself either. And that fight that they got into, and there was like legitimate back and forth on the broadcast last night. And the point was, like, when you get, you know, Sonny Gray gets 0-2, and then he just starts, it's like he's playing cricket after that. You know? It's like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Have some balls. Go after the guy. Like, you know, I was against Al Leiter on this one. And I loved Al Leiter as a Met. I really did. But I was against him on this one. He said, you know how hard it is to be a pitcher in a major league? Okay, fine. He's getting paid millions of dollars to do it. You get 0-2 on a guy, go after him,
yeah,
man.
Al has been a little sympathetic, yes, I would say
God, it's so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, you know what this this Met fiasco reminds me of?
I don't know.
And it's happened here in the last year. It's happened in New York in the last year. So it reminds me of something that went on here in New York that I'm now watching unfold here with the Mets.
The Rangers?
No.
Is it sports related?
Yes. And you're on the right track.
So it's not the Rangers.
It's not the Rangers.
Don't tell me the Knicks.
No, the Knicks are, you know.
I mean, because they're not that bad.
No, I mean, the Mets went to the World Series a few years back, so it's not like they've been totally inept over the last
five that's
years.
Why I thought it was the Rangers, because, you know, they'd had some success. So obviously, the Rangers had more extended success.
You'll understand exactly why I think this way about what had taken place here last year, because it's starting to look a lot like that for the two guys that are going to be under the microscope from the fan base.
Okay, you want to hang on to that?
I will hang on to that.
All right.
And I want you to
tell me what
it is, because it's very obvious to me what is going on here.
Okay, all right, very good. We'll come back with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.